tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. It's cooling down a little bit. It was warm today, but it's supposed to get cooler over here in L.A. We have a great show for you. We're playing with some new technology, a new guitar. And Scott, how are you doing?
I am doing good. Just been editing like crazy for the past week on some new videos that I posted up on my YouTube channel. I actually put together a very cool, I mentioned it last week, a wah-wah shootout with Del Casher, the inventor of the wah-wah. And he is quite a personality. That guy is so much fun.
You should check out the video. It's pretty funny. So it's a pretty interesting thing to take a look at.
Yeah, I have a little interview with him, and then he does a demonstration, a wah-wah shoot of about six different wahs, vintage and new. And then he does a demonstration, or as he likes to call it, a presentation, as you'll see when I get owned on camera there, but a presentation of his prototype. And then actually we'll be posting it on our Facebook page for tomorrow, but I just finished up another Celestion speaker shootout with the Goldown Nico, Creamback H with the heavy magnet, and the brand new V-Type. And I have to say, they are all great sounding speakers, which I was pleasantly surprised. I was expecting like one of them to not be my favorite, but they're actually all very cool.
That's good. That's good to know. Well, most of the new speakers that are coming out, they're getting hip to what everybody wants. So it's a good field out there. There's a lot of different choices, and they're all pretty decent. So far, what I've heard of the demos that you've done, a lot of the speakers have just been pretty amazing.
Yeah. So if you want to check that out, go to my YouTube channel. It's Selenium, like Millennium, but with an S, because I totally stole that from Will Smith, by the way. But mine's way cooler because it's my last name, not first name. So what have you been up to, Jeff?
Well, actually, this last week I've been playing with this guitar that Glenn Sweetwood was really great to send down here. It's a very interesting guitar. We're going to talk about some of the different things that he did with it, and it's a prototype called the Meteor. Also, too, he had some. He was experimenting with some pickups. So these are not. I don't know if these are going to end up being the production run pickups, but they're interesting. We were talking a little bit. He has sent me an email asking me about the treble pickup, because I had mentioned it was really twangy, and these are humbuckers, but it has a really interesting sound. And tonight with us in studio we have J.P. Duran, who literally just drove into town from on tour. And came down here and brought his, I'll let him explain his model number for his amp. I don't know it off the top of my head. But he has his little Ampeg amp here, and it sounds great. So without further ado, let's introduce Glenn.
Glenn, are you on the line?
Hey, guys. I'm really, first let me just say I am very privileged that you guys thought about me and brought me onto the show. I'm honored.
Yeah, actually, we both Jeff and I ran into you for the first time at it wasn't the LA Amp Show, it was the Pedal Expo show, right?
Pedal Expo.
In April, and you were there demoing your guitars, and kind of made two great connections there. Ended up meeting you and getting to see these very unique guitars that you make, and then also at the same time just ran into Artie Newman, who demoed your guitar for you, who is a fantastic picker, who actually will be on our show in like a month or so. No, 3 weeks. I don't know, something around there.
It's coming up.
I don't know. I slept since then, so I can't remember.
But anyway, yeah, no, it's this guitar is very interesting, and thanks for letting us get a chance to try it, because it's always a privilege to be able to try a prototype, and to let some of our friends try it too, like JP, because he's playing all the time, and we go back and forth with our different guitars and our electrics and stuff, so it'll be interesting to see his input on it too. But I wanted to ask you one thing. These pickups, do you make your own pickups, or did you have those made? Because you had mentioned that you were experimenting with this treble pickup, that it was a lighter gain, and we were talking back and forth about the fact that, I think as a recording pickup, I mean, there's some interesting things, and I was showing JP before the show, you can do a lot of different things. Do you guys make your own pickups?
We are in the process of bringing everything in-house now. These were closely monitored. They were wound externally from us, but basically with our supervision. And these pickups are pure PAF. I'm calling them right now. I'm sure I'll get in trouble for the PAF thing, but they are really an authentic PAF tone from a vintage Gibson style guitar, and they're very balanced. So the bridge pickup is actually a lot less. It's about the same output as a neck pickup, but in the bridge position, it has less output. Just from the physics of the design, so it gives you a real spanky. It's a pickup that single coil guys will really like. It's real pedal friendly. My first take on it is if you're driving a Marshall or something real hard in the bridge position, you're not going to love it. It's probably better suited to the pedal and Fender type guys out there, Fender amp.
Because it kind of reminded me, actually, it sounded very similar to we had on last week, TV Jones, his single coil. It had more of that sound. It didn't sound as humbuckery for me. It sounded, the closest I would think of a double coil pickup would be like a Filtertron. It had more of that tone to me than like a Gibson humbucker. But it was very usable and had a really nice sound. Now, one of the things that could be affecting my judgment on this is the strings. What kind of strings are you using on there?
Those, I believe, are Dunlops.
Okay, because they have a lot of harmonic content. They're very bright strings. And that could be affecting, it works well with the pickup, but I was getting a lot of overtones with it, and I could do a lot of different, squealing and pinging.
Right.
On it. It got that really nice, and it's rich with harmonics. Actually, if JP wants to play a little bit of it.
Well, hey, how you doing?
That's JP. JP Duran. Brim Incendio, folks.
Hey, yes. JP.
Hey. So I want to ask you, because we just had a second to set this up, should we set it up a little more, a little gainy or a little less gainy? Because I think I left it at kind of a gain kind of thing, and it's a great little Ampeg 15-watt amp, the GVT, and I'm thinking I should actually roll it back a little bit and try that.
Well, why don't you just give us a little bit of sample of what it is right now, and then we'll have fun with it.
I mean, it definitely has that, like, almost like a Tele. Like,
yeah. It's a little meatier than a single coil, but the TV Jones were pretty close.
I mean, you don't expect that kind of out of a humbucker kind of thing. It's a beautiful light body, and it really, the neck is really, really fast, which is cool.
Glenn, can you tell us what the woods that you used on this?
So this build has a Cataloche fingerboard with a padauk top, mahogany back and neck.
Oh,
and
it is mahogany.
The Cataloche is what, it's real spanky.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, I posted pictures of the guitar. You can take a look at our Facebook page. He's using what he calls a sanded finish. It's kind of looks like it doesn't have a finish. It is finished, but it does. It's kind of a dull finish.
I think it's hand rubbed, right? For the ladies.
It's basically
for the ladies
sanded,
out there.
Like for all the surfers out there, the difference between a gloss and a sanded surfboard, it has that type of feel.
Well, it's really fast, and I mean, I didn't, usually an unfinished type of, I played necks that have no finish on the back of them, and there's a little bit of drag. This thing is pretty smooth all the way up and down. I mean, I was able to jump around and slide around really easy.
Yep.
That's cool. It's a finish that we're thinking about offering, and you're the third person to actually touch that guitar, so everybody has been real positive on it, and it's how we do all of our bolt-on necks with a sanded finish. So people have been really happy with that. But as far as the whole guitar goes, it's definitely something new for us.
This guitar is a bolt-on?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
That one's a set neck.
Yeah.
All of our bolt-on necks are sanded Simtek. It's basically a sanded Simtek finish. It's a type of polyester.
This heel is beautiful. The round on the heel. What kind of influenced you to do that or go that way? That's really lovely.
Well, that's just the design. I think my artist eye sends me there. There's some pretty cool heels out there. I think Nick Huber, who makes great guitars out of Germany, he has his Krautster model has a really cool heel, and that's my thing. I do the rounded, sculpted thing.
Yeah, that's just lovely.
Clearly, JP is a footman.
But I love the neck is. I like really thin necks, and that neck is just a dream. It just plays really nice. Now that also is has that asymmetric progressive neck. Is that an asymmetric progressive?
It is. It is. So one of the things that has put us on the map over the years is our progressive asymmetric neck. So they're rounder by the nut, and they get more asymmetric as you move towards the heel. The whole neck is asymmetric feeling. It's a very subtle change, but one, you play differently in the different positions on the guitar, and it just gives you better access to reach your hand around as you move up the neck and play more leads, and it's been very popular for us. We have about three different styles of progressive asymmetry.
Yeah, I don't notice the change. It's subtle. It's very subtle. But it's consistent all the way up and down the neck.
Now, Glenn, maybe if JP wants to make an adjustment to his amp on this, I thought I would ask you, can you talk about the new, or not, it's not really new, but can you talk about boutique guitar making and kind of how it's definitely growing, because kind of boutique amps have always been around, and those have been really popular, but the boutique guitar market is really growing. Can you speak to that and kind of how that's affecting today, or what that's affecting today?
Well, I think there's a lot of guys out there making really high-quality stuff now, and it is... I've seen at least, I think there's an elite group of about, in the electric space where I am mostly, I'd say there's about 20 different companies that are just making stuff that blows the doors off of Fender and Gibson, and the options are really endless. It's a really great time to be a guitar player. A lot of different guys have their signature type thing. I think Saul Cole, who is a really great builder up in Portland, Oregon. I mean, he just has the coolest vibe going on with his retro thing. His necks are great. There's some other guys. John Sir, he definitely has reinvented the Faster Caster, and his stuff is top-notch. Him and Anderson both, Tom Anderson, really great stuff. Their builds from one to the next are so consistent, and both those guys are definitely masters of QA. And then they've been doing it a lot longer than I have, so I look up to some of those guys and see their instruments and draw a lot of inspiration from them. And I try and take it one step further. I think the space is definitely really crowded, and there's a lot of guys building parts caster type stuff and really have no sawdust in their shop, but they do really a great job on assembly, and they become popular, but there's a million of those out there. So we've done some changes. We redesigned the neck joint, and now I have the 3D coupling. That's been very popular for us lately. And pocketed fret slots, something that very few other people offer. It basically is a way of slotting the fingerboard to press frets without making the saw go all the way through the fretboard. So it's a slot that leaves the end of the fingerboard intact. So
yeah, there's no fret profile on the side of this neck. That's wild. Seemed pretty seamless work. Very cool.
Yeah, so it's just something we do, and it has actually proven to be our necks are now more stable season to season because of that, and they're stiffer and stronger because, like an I-beam, you're leaving that material on the end of the finger, on the sides of the fingerboard, so it doesn't fold up like an accordion would. So it's just improvements all around. So
cool.
Now, with the boutique market, like in your case, what are some of the... Because you create like a guitar called the Sweet Tea, which is a kind of a Telecaster type of guitar, which we definitely want to talk about one of the versions you have on there, because I think JP has fallen in love with it beyond belief. And, and you've got your Sweet Caster. What is it that you're doing with those staples that, you know, we do love from Fender and Gibson and all that, but what are you doing different to improve on those designs?
So, one, we're just getting better wood than even the Fender Custom Shop gets. That's where it really starts out with. Good wood, there's really no substitute for that. One of the things, especially on the Sweet Tea, we have... So one of the most important developments of my career in luthery has been learning about the different types of wood, and I've done a lot more experimentation, I think, than a lot of people in my position, and I just happened to stumble across a wood called Cataloche. And
how do you spell that for folks so they can look it up?
Cataloche.
I would have not guessed Cataloche. That's how you spelled it.
Brazilian or something?
It is the Mexican ebony.
Ah.
But it's not a true ebony. It has a much higher oil content. So what it does, it's real hard, so it gives you a lot of spank. But since it has the oil content, it bumps up the mid-range. And for a Telecaster type of guitar, in our Sweet Tea model, our default wood is Cataloche now. It just is the twangiest, spankiest stuff ever. And it just kills for that type of build.
Now, is that the wood that's on... So the guitar that JP, I think, is... his heart's going pitter-patter for is the one that you have on your website with the Bigsby and what looks like the Filtertron pickups on it.
The F-hole. Yeah.
And the F-hole in it.
That's a gorgeous piece.
That is, that one I also went top shelf on, and because he wasn't going with it was a custom order, he didn't want to do a straight Tele pickup set and with a Filtertron, so we went top shelf and used Zerikote on that fingerboard for that. And I believe I did a English Sycamore neck, which is a lot like maple, but it's a tighter growth rings, and it definitely is real stiff and a lot more sustained than most of the maple species that are commonly available.
I have a little bit of experience with Spanish guitars in terms of people using palo escrito. So is Cataloche one of those kind of new? Is it in abundance, or is it a little rarer? It's certainly not threatened, but is it like a palo escrito in terms of availability?
I believe it has a pretty good availability. I get all my wood from certified means, and it doesn't seem like the shelf is very thin in that department. Like Zerikote right now is really hard to get, and it's very expensive. And we're definitely going through a period now where wood scarcity is a serious problem in our industry. So I've been looking into designing guitars with a lot of composites and carbon fiber type stuff, all different types of builds. There's some plastics out there that I'm sure sound really good too. So...
Well, I got to say, this is a beautiful fast neck. This is really, really lovely. The mounting to the mahogany is seamless, and it just moves really, really well. There's no problem in working with this wood like Cocobolo or any of those where you have to, you know, you can actually get poisoned or those kind of things, right? This is not – the oil content being what raised the question.
The oil content, I have no allergic reaction to it. I actually do have an allergic reaction to Padauk.
Oh,
which is on
so
the
you
top
have. Wow.
And not many people experience that, but it gives me the sneezes. So.
Oh, man.
So how do you deal with that? Do you just wear a respirator when you deal with it?
You know, I love it. It's probably my favorite wood for tops, and sometimes even for necks. I usually use it for a center seam in my neck, and it bumps up the sustain a notch. When you sand that stuff, it gets everywhere. It is all over my shop, and I wear a respirator, and then I just go through with my compressor, and I blast it out with basically a hazmat suit. But it doesn't kill me, so at least not yet.
You talked a little bit about the sustain qualities. What else does Padauk tend to bring out, mids or highs? I mean, I'm thinking some highs and some high mids because of the nature of this almost like Telecaster humbucker thing you have going here.
Sure. So that guitar, we are definitely not going to spec with a vintage. I think it's a little bit edgy for vintage type of pickups, but I wanted to get your thoughts on those. And you're really the guinea pig on this one to see how that model turned out.
I mean, that is not your typical humbucker spank by any means.
Yes.
And it just moves
right.
So
yeah, and actually he's on the neck position.
I'm
right
on
now.
Neck, and now I'm pulling out this was something they were trying to tell me a little bit about, the push-pull action. Now I have the volume down in the regular position. Now I'm pulling it up. This is
How are the push-pull?
Yeah, how is this configured?
Series parallel. Both pickups.
So each push-pull is for each?
So volume knob is the neck pickup. Tone knob is the bridge pickup. For up is parallel.
There we go. I'm a little out of tune. We'll come back and check that out.
So you asked about the tonal properties of Padauk.
Yes.
Going back to that, I would say Padauk is great for mid-range rocker type of guitar. It has a bumped up mid-range and a really strong sustain, which is actually kind of weird because it's a very porous wood at the same time and is a pain in the butt to finish. As opposed to like a redwood, which we also use a lot of, that has a real scoop tone and is very articulate, great for, say, fingerstyle jazz. And you can match these up with, if you're a good player and don't hide behind distortion and stuff like that, I recommend going with a harder fingerboard like Cataloche or Ebony. Even Bloodwood is one of my favorite fingerboards. That's every guitar I make with Bloodwood is amazing.
Where is that sourced? Where is Bloodwood from?
Bloodwood is an Australian wood.
Cool, man. You're really looking around.
Is it more like ebony or is it more like rosewood?
I would say it's more like ebony. It's definitely hard. It's not quite as hard as Cataloche, but it sustains great. It has a real great EQ. It's very balanced, and it doesn't... It doesn't really spike anywhere to that gives you that hole in the head kind of mid range. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you talk about your 3D neck system and what is unique about that?
So the 3D neck system, there's some guys using. It's basically a pocketed neck. I call it the 3D. It uses three diameters across the neck. I think you can see it on my website much more closely. But basically, it's a two-bolt system, and as you tighten the bolts, it locks the neck into place. So there is no lateral movement that plagues a flat, square neck pocket like a Fender. Their necks often slip in the pocket and cause that little crack right by the low E string. One thing we've noticed is that due to this type of coupling, the sustain has been increased a little bit, and also the bloom of the instrument. It has all the great characteristics of a bolt-on, like fast attack, and you can play country on it, but yet it has the bloom and resonance that a glued-in neck has. So it kind of offers the best of both worlds. And I'm doing a little test right now where it's basically comparing. It's really hard to compare different guitars, but I have some guitars here that have the same body woods, the same neck woods, one built with a square neck pocket and the other built with a 3D neck joint. And you can hear it when you play it, that the sustain and resonance, it's just a little bit louder than the square neck pocket is. So I'm trying to develop a scientific test for this to measure things like sustain, decay, and do it all on the computer with waveform analysis to give people the better picture of what it does for their tone. Tom Anderson has a hexagonal type of neck pocket, which is very similar. The guys up at Breedlove, let's just say they borrowed Tom Anderson's design for better terms, if you know what I'm talking about. So they found that when you tighten the bolts in his system, it either has two problems. One is if it rests on the 45-degree angle aspects and you over-tighten, it has the ability to wedge the neck into the body and actually split the body, if that makes sense. Or it can rest on the bottom flat part. Just technical stuff, but our neck design doesn't have any of those problems that the Breedlove guys encountered with their implementation of the Anderson neck pocket. So,
do you find that the neck is a lot more stable in the sense that you don't have to go and adjust the truss rod and those sort of things?
It does not move at all. The lateral strength and really the impact resistance. So there's machine threaded inserts on the inside of the neck that the bolts go into, and it is very strong. It's a metal to metal coupling, if you will. So I would imagine the neck would probably break the wood, or that there's more mass in the actual heel block. So I haven't done destruction type stuff yet, but I've stood on them and they're really strong. They don't even budge. So, well,
you're more of a man than I am. I would not stand on a guitar.
Nah.
Are you talking about a Gibson scale length on this guitar, or were you going for a Fender thing but with two humbuckers?
No, that has a 24.625, 24 and 5/8 inch scale.
Okay.
The one you're playing. So it is, I guess Gibson is 24.75 is their modern scale.
Mm-hmm.
I believe their old Les Pauls are 24 and 5/8, so...
You're in the Gibson-y range.
I'm in the Gibson-y
range
for sure.
Because Paul Reed Smith's smack in the middle, right?
Something. He's 25.
And then Fender's a little longer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, Paul makes great guitars, but I have never bonded with a 25-inch scale. There's just something about it for me.
It is a thing. It's a little different. Yeah, it's weird.
I can get used to even up to 27-inch scale is great. Mm. And 25.5, but right in the middle there, it feels like either the strings are too tight or they're too loose or just something is off.
It feels different. I will say that the Brent Mason that we all tried at NAMM, that was the maple neck, Paul Reed Smith, was pretty stunning. But I think it had more to do with the novelty of a maple neck on a Paul Reed Smith.
Yeah.
And that was a lovely, lovely sounding.
But I find with the tension, like my Les Paul, I use 10s on my Gibsons, but I use 9s on the Fenders, and it's about the same feel.
One thing that was obvious, I think, to all of us on this was the sustain characteristic that you were talking about was really, you know, pretty nice. I'm trying to subtly tune here while... It's still not quite there.
We were trashing the whammy bar. We were going nuts with it. So
I have the.
I'll be honest with you. I installed that trim after the fact, and I still had a bone nut on there. I have to switch that thing out at some point. So
it's not
that,
us.
That'll help it for sure.
Oh, good. Well, no. I mean, I when JP came in, I said, check this out, and I'd like, you know, that whammy bar goes down about a fourth, which is rare for a Strat type of whammy bar. So I'm like, hey, this is cool, but when I brought it back up, it was a little off.
So JP, could you demo, like, just go between all the different pickup positions and kind of tell people what you're doing? So maybe start on neck and then go to both, and just kind of tell us what you're doing.
So here's neck with the volume kind of rolled off a little bit. Just, you know, you're also looking for versatility to see.
While he's tuning that real quick, one thing we did notice is when you just roll off a little bit, maybe one notch on the volume, it gives you a dramatic change in tone, which is actually really usable, kind of like what Clapton used to do with his SG. He used to pull it back when he played like with Cream, and it's a really nice sound. But JP was just playing with roll. I mean, I'm usually full out, but he was rolling back, and he was getting a really nice bloom to the pickup, and then when we cranked up the amp a little bit, it had a nice little bluesy sound. All right, try it again.
Let's try that. Now that's full on. That's neck, and here's with the pull up, right?
Notice that the gain goes down.
And then to the middle, which for whatever reason is always like a BB King. That's always my thing with like humbuckers is to kind of go automatically that and go in the middle position. But this guitar is not designed to do that. This guitar really is just... It keeps wanting to go to that trebly twang.
Yeah, let me get you that nice little country.
Oh, so
thing.
Great.
I think if you were playing live, and you had to do like you're playing like top 40 or you're doing a lot of you know, traditional stuff, you probably want traditional humbuckers as a working guitar. But as a session guitar, that guitar has some really interesting sounds to it.
Now that's back to the treble pickup. I mean, that's slapping.
Pull the thing up so it's in parallel. Let's see how that sounds.
Put it in the middle there.
That's both pickups.
Yep. Here we go. It's a little out of tune because of what he was talking about, but we did also notice when we had it perfectly in tune that it was really holding its intonation up at the top, which was really nice. A smooth transition.
Yeah, you have a lot of access to the top frets. The way your cutaway is and the neck, it's just you can go all the way up.
So what do you guys think of the shape of that one?
Just the body shape?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And really, I mean, I'm just still just tripping on the sound. Sound is just it's lovely, man. This is a really beautiful guitar.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice how it allows you access to all the frets very easily, kind of like an SG, but it doesn't look like an SG at all. Kind of got your own little unique flavor to it.
And what I'm trying to do is overdrive it a little bit and see what we can get out of it.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
Reset that right
now. The thing I like about it, it's simple. I mean, the wood's just beautiful. I mean, the finish is great. on it, but it's simple. It's not all real super ornate or something like that. It's a good, you know, it's just to the point, and it, but it just, the playing on it is just, it's, that neck is great. You make great necks. You can keep making those necks all the time you want. They're just great by me.
Thank you, sir.
But I like a real thin neck, and that thing is fast.
You know, I think the progressive asymmetric neck works even better with the bigger necks. It's a big neck that guys with even small hands would like, and I think there's something special with the bigger one. So.
Well, that thing's wider than my Les Paul or my Fenders, because I use a B style on my Strat, but it's fine. It's real effortless to play. It's just it's really easy to chord on. And you have enough. It's easy to dig in on it too when you want to bend.
I missed that part. Are you doing in fact wider necks that keep this this asymmetrical profile that you're talking about, but moving to a wider scale, say like a 335 or even kind of wider scale? Is that something that you can do?
Actually, the neck is it's 2 1/4 at the 23rd fret, mm-hmm. and it's a 1.650. Right at the nut, I believe, on that neck. So it's actually skinnier than a Gibson neck.
Right.
It actually reminds me of I have a 355 from 1965 or something, and it's very similar to that.
I don't know. My Les Paul, I think, is narrower than that, or close to that. It's not that, but it's an old custom.
So the other thing about the progressive neck is that they actually feel skinnier than they are.
Really?
And you'd be surprised that the shape of a neck, how much it can change just the feel of everything. So, well, sounds like you're in tune.
That's barking.
Which pickup are you using?
This is front treble. You know, I'm sorry, bridge. And it's, you know what? It's interesting when you're overdriving. It's carrying a more humbuckery kind of character. It's very, very clean.
Well, and then that amp too. Your amp head gives it more growl. What type of frets are those? Because they feel like stainless steel.
They are Jesscar. Jesscar makes really great fret wire. That's just their standard nickel alloy.
Oh, okay. Because they just the guitar sustains forever. I mean, it'll go.
That's bridge, so coming back this way.
Let's hear the neck.
You were playing a little with that. We'll have it. Oh, that's lovely. Jeff was playing with the woman tone a little earlier, so that's funny. Hold on. There we go. Now that's interesting.
Are you in the parallel or are you on the regular?
I guess I'm on the regular. Let's pull this out and see. The gate is affected somewhat by being in that position, because I'm getting the woman tone now that this is pulled up.
I I think you're definitely getting the woman tone. Some of the people in the chat room, which are there are some women, are getting pretty excited.
When he was when we were checking it before, when JP had come in, I had the little Marshall out, so I had a lot more gain than you did. Yeah. So it's probably a little easier to get.
This is doing more of, like we said, the Stonesy thing that the new line of Ampeg's doing. Now that's the combination of both. Let's push these pulleys up.
That's both coil tap there.
That'd probably be generating a little feedback, but I'm not inside the room as the amp right now. So.
Yeah, the engineer in the other room is enjoying the decibels of loudness over half the side of the room.
So now we go from. It's got a little squeal there going. Once again, the amp not like a Marshall that's going to tend to squeal. But what I want to do now is go. Cleans up really nicely. Really lovely, man. Sweet.
So you can, even with the less gain of those pickups, you're getting a good range of tone out of there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we've gone so high gain for so many years with you know, there's great players and all these guys, but I think the last couple of years have seen a return to smaller amps, less output on the pickups and finding the right balance, and it really sounds like that's what you're working with in this guitar. It's got a little less output, but it's very, very sweet, and you're not sacrificing any sustain.
Well, that was the thing. A lot of guys got into when Super Distortions came out, when DiMarzio came out with Super Distortions, everybody liked it because it drove their pedal boards, but it just lost all the high end, and the PAFs, a little less gain, gave you a lot more tone.
Absolutely.
So, Glenn, we had a question from our chat room. They wanted to ask about the Leopard guitar. Is that kind of more like an older 50s or 60s, like kind of Les Paul with P90s in it?
I'm sorry, which guitar?
I'm probably totally mispronouncing the name. The Leopard or Leopard?
The Leopard.
The Leopard. Sorry, I'm totally retarded. Apparently, I work for a French company, so apparently I want to pronounce everything very fancy. The Jaguar, the Leopard.
The Leopard.
So the Leopard. I'm sorry, I'm totally retarded. I mean,
that is based on everybody's favorite Les Paul from back in the 1954, I think those came out. So it's a double cutaway, slab of mahogany type of guitar. Simple build. And we're probably going to discontinue those in the future, but it's been a pretty good seller for us. But I think our new models coming out in the future will take care of a lot of that. We'll pick up the slack from that market. So,
you know, and the one thing I did want to mention, actually, that I thought was super unique that you offer, and hopefully you're still offering it. I'm not advertising something for you incorrectly. But your test drive, can you talk about how anybody can – because this guitar is available in – a few stores around the nation. It's also going to be, you're going to be at the LA Amp Show here in October, correct?
Yeah, 2 weekends.
So if you want to check these guitars out and you're in the Los Angeles area, then you can see them there. But if you're not, let's say you're in Kansas and you want to see this guitar, tell us how somebody in Kansas could check this puppy out.
That's right. So we have a test drive program that's been very successful for us since we are not in many stores, and we offer pretty much direct sales at this point. So there's a sign up form on our website under the test drive menu bar, and basically all you do is you pay for shipping to the next person on the test drive, and I try and arrange it so you're not shipping cross country, and it's a very affordable option. However, it's been pretty successful, and a lot of people end up buying the test drive guitars. And honestly, I think it's best if you do purchase a guitar from us, we have a full money-back guarantee, and just get the one you want instead of the test drive guitar, and then test drive that, And if you don't like it, send it back to us. So it's win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's actually very cool. I mean, because then that way, you know, it's, I mean, even when you go and buy just a regular guitar that they have at any store, you know, you always want to just take it home and play in your own amps and your own setting that you're used to. You know, so this is very cool that you offer that option.
I had one quick question. I don't know how we are on time, but I had a question about the neck joint, because I was just talking to a friend at the Mill Pond Festival this weekend who also had a Les Paul and also told me the story about, you know, United. Well, no, let's not say an airline.
Yeah.
well, you know, there's a long story there, but breaking the headstock off of his Les Paul, and it's a known problem. It's not like we're outing Gibson or, you know.
Well, the SGs were even more notable.
Yeah, there was always a problem. Is there any compensatory thing that you did on this? I'm thinking that the neck, the headstock angle is not as severe as a Les Paul. Did you do something different with that?
It is a little bit less than a Les Paul, but really, I think the thing that reinforces Gibson just has a weak spot in the way the top of their neck comes into the headstock. It's just a thin spot, and they carve out a lot of wood for their truss rod slot so that you're able to adjust the nut from the top of the guitar.
I've noticed,
so there is not that much wood there.
Yeah,
our
I noticed that you
kept
that
much more wood right in that area. So.
Well, your guitar,
your slot is really conservative, which I thought was really cool. It was one of the first things I saw. There was a small slot.
But also his headstock, it kind of flares out a little bit before to the neck, closer to the neck. It's not.
Yeah.
And that's a little more wood. The problem is they got so thin, which was great to play, but there's just not enough wood there.
So you address it. It's really beautiful work back here. This is cool.
Thanks.
No,
yeah, I think the real problem with the Gibson headstock breaking is due to their truss slot, their truss adjustment area. It just makes it too thin there.
Now, what kind of inlay work do you do? Do you do any special custom inlay, or do you keep it simple with just dot inlays? What's your flavor?
So yeah, we're... This guitar, the production version, will have the full complement of array, the full inlay array, if you will, on the fingerboard. This guitar basically is the child of our Comet model, and it has, from the waist down, it is literally the same thing as a Comet, but it just comes up and it's just a little more evil, you know. There's a sprinkling of evil in there. But it's not much different. So we'll probably do fully bound bodies and necks. And for the production version, I'm thinking we're going to decrease the size by about, let's call it 90 to 95% of that headstock you see there, but it'll be the same shape.
Interesting.
Wow, really?
What would be the reason for that?
I think it's a little bit bigger headstock than I think I'm used to, so I don't know. My eye is definitely still deciding on this.
Well, I have to say, I mean, it. You know, not that I have much choice here because I don't work for Sweetwood, and I'm not you, but I personally really love the headstock that's on your Comets, the little almost kind of teardrop.
That's my Comet headstock.
Yeah, the teardrop, I love it. I don't know what I remember that when we were at the show in April this year. Well, personally, I fell in love with the Comet. I thought the Comet was just a killer little guitar.
Since I don't have that right in front of me, is that kind of almost new surfy thing? You have so many cool things on your website.
It's this one here, JP.
That one. But there's also something he's doing that's almost like a Mosrite kind of retro.
That's my Rockrite guitar, yeah.
The XKE, is that right?
No, the Rockrite model. It has that Mosrite type vibe.
Oh, yeah.
That is, don't tell anybody, that's my secret favorite guitar in my lineup.
That's
just
so cool.
Something about that, it has woman curves, if you look at it.
Yeah, it's quite skinny around, but then it's got booty, if you will.
Yes.
I can't.
It's basically the way to describe it. It's like a skinny waist with big booties. A B-O-O-O-T-Y. Okay, sorry. That's from...
Yes, Mr. Leopard.
That's from some. Yes. From some
is that something from your
trendy
French?
No, that's okay. From some silly show that my wife watches that I saw.
Are you running like P90s on that, like or a Most Right type thing on that, or is it? I can't really see it from. But
it looks like it has a double coils.
That is our default pickup. It's a P90, but it's a little bit on the Jazzmaster end of
right,
a P90.
Voice
not
it.
So.
Right,
not so honking.
Yeah, you're doing exactly that thing. Very cool. That's the other thing that I saw on the website that looks so great. So you could do your walk, don't run, slaughter on 10th Avenue, little by the leaves.
Are you going to be bringing one of those? You're going to be at the LA Amp Show, right?
I will. I will have the coolest rock right you've ever seen there.
Because we'll have to check that out, and then we'll have to shoot a video. Hopefully, we'll.
He has to be there. We have to return these guitars. I mean, unless he forgets about them.
Yeah. JP, come back here quick. Bring that guitar back. No. But no, that's good. And also, I just want to mention really quick, Lonnie, for putting the amp show. That's coming in. It's in 2 weeks, I think. It's the.
Yeah, I think it's October 5th and 6th. Yeah.
Yeah. So Lonnie's. He actually was commenting on our Facebook page about the picture of the guitar, loving it. He liked the guitar too. So everybody, if you can, come on down there to the show. It'll be really cool. And they have some really interesting stuff.
Where is it?
It's at Van Nuys.
The LA Amp Show is in Van Nuys. Okay. Right by the airport, whatever that hotel is there.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, of all the trade shows, the music industry trade shows, the LA Amp Show is the most fun. It's in a hotel. It's just a blast, party atmosphere, really good time. And you get to meet a lot of cool people, too.
Do you tend to match up these guitars with a lot of different amps, or is there one go-to amp that you really like to try to voice all of these through?
That's a really good question. Whenever I get a custom order, that's definitely one of the first three questions I ask somebody is what type of, what's their go-to amp? And then I'll make a lot of my pickup adjustments based on what they like. And, the Dumble guys, they definitely like a certain type of pickup.
Yeah.
So. And then the Fender guys, they seem to be real into the single coils, I think. It's funny, with the pro players, most guys who are pro players who order guitars from me, they all want DiMarzio noiseless pickups for their single coil types. So we've pretty much gone to the Area T's, or the Area set for the Sweetcaster. Mm. But most of the amateur guys, they want a real deal single coil, and we have that. We source those. I think Lawler makes a terrific single coil. He's the guy I think who sets the bar in the single coil market. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, Glenn. Can you real quick tell everybody how they can find you besides coming to the LA Amp Show here in 2 weeks?
SweetwoodGuitars.com.
There it is.
Yes. So that's the best way.
And also, too, follow them on Facebook at Sweetwood Guitars. And if you have any questions for him, info@SweetwoodGuitars.com. Also, for Jean-Pierre, their newest album is The Shape of Dreams. It's on iTunes besides Amazon, and you can get it both in CD or digital download. Their Facebook page is Incendio Band, and their website is IncendioBand.com. And we did an interview with Incendio and talked and played some clips of the album. If you want to check it out, just go to LA Talk Radio to the Flow Guitar. Look in the archive. It's on. It's the June 10th show, 2013, June 10th.
And yeah,
plug JP's amp. Well, what amp was that?
It's a sleeper amp. It's like a killer little amp.
Our good friends at Ampeg made a tremendous line called the GVT, and that's their 15, I think 20 watt, whatever it is, one single 6L6, or Chubnar 2, through a Celestion 7080. Killer little amp and matches beautifully with this guitar.
Who is the, we want to give credit to the guy.
Scott Patterson is the artist relations gentleman at Ampeg and has been very kind to our band and to a lot of other people that we've been able to have them come out and check out this amp, which has the Box and Doll EQ. you push it up in the middle, and it's awesome. So check it out, GBT.
Okay. Well, Glenn, we want to thank you very much, and keep your eye open in the future for the Leopard model that'll have the Flow Guitar Enthusiast and my stupid face on it. No, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, SweetwoodGuitars.com. Next week we have Jim Messina. Is that right?
Jim Messina from Buffalo Springfield, Poco, Loggins, and Messina. He's one of the founders of country rock. He was one of the progenitors of it.
So before we go, we're going to ask Mr. JP one more time to just kind of give us some fancy work. And we'll thank you and see you next week.
Yeah, yes, JP, get depressed and play some blues. Thank you. Very much.